to the chief musician, a psalm. Make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. Sing out the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your works. Through the greatness of your power, your enemies shall submit themselves to you. All the earth shall worship you and sing praises to you. They shall sing praises to your name, Selah. Come and see the works of God. He is awesome in his doing toward the sons of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the river on foot. There we will rejoice in him. He rules by the power, by his power forever. His eyes observe the nations. Do not let the rebellious exalt themselves. Selah. Oh, bless our God, you peoples, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, who keeps our soul among the living and does not allow our feet to be moved. For you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our backs. You have cursed men. You have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but you brought us out to rich fulfillment. I will go into the house with burnt offerings. I will pay you my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer you burnt sacrifices of fat animals. With the sweet aroma of rams, I will offer bulls with goats. Selah. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regarded iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. But certainly God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for these wonderful examples of worship, and they turn our hearts to you. We can find ways of identifying, though we didn't go through the exact struggles that David and others went through, Lord, we can take their words and we can use them. We can have the same heart's desire to extol your name that others may know you as well. We pray, Lord, you'd help us this evening to examine our worship and find ways that we might improve ourselves in this area, that we would be better worshipers. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. We have examined almost all of the questions that we posed at the beginning of our study, and we've noted that worship is a wholehearted, whole being experience. It's not just reading the words on the page. It's not just sitting down and doing a quick reading of the Bible for our devotions. This is a whole being experience. We've noted that it is not just a one moment in time thing. It's not just meeting here Sunday morning for worship service, but that worship ought to be the pattern of our lives, that worship can be the words of our mouth as well as the service of our hands, the way that we do things in our everyday aspects of life, to bring honor and glory and blessing to his name. But there is a sense in which we need to be intentional and have those specific moments in time when we are worshiping God. Just as we often see in the Psalms, he's written a song out of the meditation of his heart to extol the goodness of God, to elevate him in his thinking, to give him glory, and to thank him for being who he is. And we noted how worship is both subjective as well as objective. It's subjective because it's really the unseen aspect of our heart, but it's objective in the sense that there are ways that we can measure it. How often are you spending time in worship? That's objective. We can measure somewhat of the quality if we would examine our hearts and see, you know, how engaged are we? How much effort are we putting into this? How much thought? Those kind of things we can kind of measure. And if we can measure it, then we ought to be able to improve upon it. And that's what our focus is tonight. How do we improve our worship? And specifically looking at our devotional time, making sure we are not just doing Bible reading and reading a devotional, but spending time in worship. Sometimes we would spend time in prayer, and our prayers get focused upon life's problems and my needs for today, the things that I'm facing, and we ought to be praying for all of that. But we want to make sure that we're also engaged in worship. Just as Jesus gave us the pattern of prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And that's worship, hallowing God's name, making it holy in our thinking, in our experience, and in our expression to God. So how can we improve? Well, we are living in a wonderful age in at least one sense. And just as everything that has a positive seems to also have some negatives, and we have to be careful of those things. But we live in a time when we have all kinds of helps when it comes to our walk with the Lord. But why would I need to use something to help me in worship? Shouldn't that just be a natural thing? Shouldn't it just kind of flow out of me? Well, you would hope that there would be that. If we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, if we're giving any kind of intentional thought to our God and what He's done for us and paying any attention to the words of Scripture as we read it, there ought to be some kind of a response. But our minds have a tendency to get into a rut. We get into a certain way of thinking. We go down the same mental paths as we generally walk because those things are easy to us. I was reading a book about the old time before, you know, paved highways and things, and before county workers did all that they do now in maintaining our roads. The farmers were responsible to maintain the roads, and they were able to turn in a bill to the county and get some tax money for their time that they spent on it. And so coming out of winter, the dirt road being frozen is very hard, and any, you know, warm up, the wheels of your wagon or car or whatever would turn up little ridges on the road, which would make it very rough. And so as soon as the thaw was coming, they'd get out with some kind of a harrow and go up and down that road and try to stir up that top soil and create wicks that would wick the moisture up out of the ground and get rid of that frost, because the quicker the frost was gone, the sooner they could get their roads in good working order. And then later, they would come by and they would have to, especially after a wet season or something, they would have to plow the road and then almost treat it like a field. They'd plow up the ditch into the road and they'd rework the road in that mile in front of their house, because those wagon wheels would run ruts and it would make it very hard to get out of the rut, to turn into a field or whatever. And our minds can do the same thing. because of the circumstances of our life, the things that God has worked us through, we learn certain things about God. There are certain elements about God that come more easily to our minds. They are very appealing to us to think about. We love to think about the love of God. But there is so much about God, and I haven't learned all there is. And I can take advantage of other people's experiences and their work in the area of worship to get my mind out of that track and think on some things that I might not normally be thinking about, things that I might not naturally see for myself, and to make sure that our worship doesn't get so narrowed and routine. I want to make sure that as I'm worshiping, I'm broadening my vision of who God is. Sometimes we get too deep in our own circumstances. Life is hard, and our minds get stuck on what we're dealing with. And we think we know what we need, and we think we ought to think on this certain attribute of God because of the circumstances of the day. But all of God's attributes have a part in all of my problems. And we need to sometimes, get out of our own heads in order to see what we need to see. Having an aid helps us slow down. As you add something to your time of devotions, you've added it for a purpose. And you know what that purpose is. Okay, so I'm going to take this aid and I'm going to put it here with my Bible. And this is for the purpose of worship. And so when I see that, I know I need to stop, slow down, make sure I'm adding worship to my time. It's so easy to just run through the motions of something and leave out certain aspects or not spend the time and the depth in it that we should. And just having something there to aid us helps us to slow down and to meditate. So how do we adapt someone else's work to be our worship? Right? The whole goal is the expression of my heart and my understanding and my relationship to God. It needs to be me. It can't just be somebody else's thoughts, right? The whole goal is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. There's a number of things that we're going to look at here. First of all, personalize the language by making it first person. Yep, first person statements. So if I'm telling you a story and I say, they went over there and looked at the pond. They did that. But I went with them. I went to the pond. So I can change the statement and say, I went over to the pond. And so when we look at even Scripture, where David is expressing himself, or he's calling on us to worship, and he says, do this and do that, we just change the wording to be first person, and we can make those statements applicable to ourselves. And we'll look at these, practice this in a little bit. We can follow a pattern that is set before us. We can look at the Psalms especially and see, how did David write? Can anybody give us an example of maybe a pattern that you see in the Psalms? Okay. Oftentimes he starts with praise, just like the passage we read tonight. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all the earth. And whether it is, sometimes it is that first person, O Lord, our Lord, how magnificent is your name in all the earth. Other times it's a statement of drawing other people into the worship with him. but he starts with praise and worship. Then what does he do? Okay. Sometimes he brings repentance in there. Yes. And he'll blend that. He'll start with praise. He'll point out a problem. He returns to praise. He calls others to praise. And you can see these kind of patterns. It's not, there are some psalms that are exclusively worship. They're praise to God. But many of the psalms are a blend of things that he's doing in prayer. And oftentimes it starts with worship and it ends with a call to worship. And so we can take a psalm and look at the pattern of that psalm and use it for our worship that day. Okay, I don't need to necessarily use the exact words that he's using here, but what is the pattern? Okay, he started with this, he did that. How can I put my life onto that pattern? So we can follow a pattern. Jesus is the pattern, right? The Lord's Prayer. Take the truth and illustrate it either from the Bible, from nature, or from personal experience. We don't have to necessarily take word for word of what is set before us, but when we see something that, okay, I don't normally think about God in terms of his gentleness. I don't normally think about God in terms of fill in the blank. So let me stop and think about that for just a second. Where is this illustrated in the Bible? What do I see in nature? And you see that oftentimes when David is, or the psalmist, not just David, but the psalmists are writing these psalms, you'll see a rehearsal of history. This is what God did. You see it in the psalm that we just read tonight. He talks about the crossing of the Red Sea. They crossed over on dry land. Right? Sometimes you see him reflecting on nature, the power of God, his voice thunders in the thunderstorm, different things like that. Psalm 19, the sun rising in the east and setting in the west. He's meditating on the things that God has done in his creation. And so he's illustrating the truth, and we can take this truth and pray it back to God. Lord, you are this, and I see that here. I see that in the Word. I see that in your nature that you've created. I see that in my personal history. You can take something and just completely rephrase it in your own words. Maybe it's a verse that you've read in your devotions, and it draws attention to God. How would I say that? That's David saying that. How would I say it? I wouldn't say it quite that way. And just take the time to rephrase it and then pray it back to the Lord. You can answer redundant statements or questions or statements that are made without an explanation or a history behind them. God is this. Well, why is God that? Expand on the statement by examining reasons for the conclusion. The psalmist concludes that God is this, but why is he that way? Let's think about it and put some meat on that. Sometimes the psalmist doesn't give us all of the reasons behind what he says. So as we want to improve our worship, there's a number of areas that we can use to aid us. Very naturally, we would use the book of Psalms. We can use a hymnal. And in terms of hymnals, it's nice to get some older hymnals and use some different things that you're maybe not using in church, because you kind of get in the rut of the same songs. Some different hymnals will have different songs in them. And so that's one way to help us. You can use good books. We can use media. And we can exercise creativity. So I want to look at each of those here for a little bit. The use of the Psalms. Psalm 139, verses 1 through 4. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my laying down and are acquainted with all of my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. Some psalms are written in such a way we can just pick them up and pray them right back to God. And this is one of them, and you could go on through the rest of that psalm. It's written that way. You can personalize it. You could work with this, but you wouldn't have to. You could just take those very words of Scripture and take them to the Lord in prayer, and you are recognizing that God is sovereign, He is present and loving, He's paying attention, He's all-knowing. You're drawing out all of these different thoughts about who God is, and it's just set right there for us to take up. Psalm 18, verses 1 and 2. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. So what might you do to this passage? Okay, that's good. Okay, you are, it's more natural to the way we would talk. Right? David's written poetry, Hebrew poetry. I'm not Hebrew, and I'm not a poet. So I want to phrase it in a way that is more natural to me, more personal to me. And so I'll put in words like, you are, in two or three places there. What else would we need to do? Okay, if we're speaking to God as a person, we wouldn't say, the Lord is. Right? We're speaking to Him. And so we need to rephrase that a little bit. So we would say something maybe a little more like this. I love you, O Lord. You are my strength. I'd get rid of the. Lord, you are my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. You are my God, my strength. I will trust in you. You are my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. So I've just personalized it. I haven't changed the truth of Scripture there. I'm taking the raw materials and forming up a phrase of worship to God. Psalm 66, verses 8 through 12. And we've read this. It's a very good passage. We could look at the first half of the psalm as well, but I picked this out because it gives us a different opportunity of personalizing this. Oh, bless our God, you peoples, and make the voice of His praise to be heard, who keeps our soul among the living and does not allow our feet to be moved. For you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. You have you brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our backs. You have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but you brought us out into rich fulfillment. So what could we do with this? Let's start with the first phrase there. That is phrased toward other people, right? We're calling on them to do something. That's not what we want to do as we pray to God. So we want to change that in our thought, in our prayer. So instead of saying, bringing it as a command to others, we need to personalize it. I bless you. I will bless you. I will make the voice of His praise to be heard. Or I desire to make your praise to be known. I want others to know how good a God you are. Okay, so we're taking the concept that's given to us and personalizing it. Who keeps our soul among the living? You didn't talk that way to me this week, did you? Scott, I'm so glad I see your soul is still among the living. But the idea is what? God has given me life. Thank you. Right? He doesn't allow our feet to be moved. Lord, you held us fast through the difficulties of life. And he kind of goes on and talks about the affliction, the difficulty. What could we do with that? Okay. And that's what he's doing, right? He's saying, you brought us out to rich fulfillment. He's praising God, but in these verses, he's drawing out the depth of the struggle. And so we can look at something in our life and say, Lord, that was a really hard time. I remember when, fill in the blank, you know, maybe a wayward child, maybe a death in the family, maybe whatever it is, it may be some personal spiritual struggle. Lord, that was a really hard time. You brought the waters over my head. You made me pass through the fire, but you brought me through. And so we're personalizing it and speaking our experience back to God. And, you know, this is my life. And at those times of struggle, we're probably not at our best moment of worship. But when we're able to look back on that and say, Lord, I just want to recognize that you did that. You brought me through this hardship. We can use our hymnals. And there's songs, again, that are written very intentionally for the purpose of worship. In fact, the first segment of our hymnal is for worship, adoration, and praise. And so that'd be a natural place to look, but we don't have to stop there. But as you look at some of these, I really appreciate the older hymn writers when it comes to this aspect of worship. You'll see, take us back to the Puritans or even back to Martin Luther and some of the old, they just seem to have a better meditation on the person of God. And so I really appreciate that. You don't have to know the song. You can take the hymnal and read a song that you don't know. It's a poem. And you can see that this is a person who has meditated upon the person of God or upon the Word of God or upon his personal experience, and he sees something about God. And we can use those things to spark our thoughts and our worship. This is a wonderful one that is very easily adapted. Fairest Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature, O thou of God and man the Son. Now we wouldn't phrase it that way. That's kind of old English. That's all poetic. But recognizing that the Father and the Son are one. There's no division in the Trinity. Thee will I cherish. I will cherish you. I love you. I intend this for my life. And then he looks at the world around him. Fairer are the meadows, fairer still the woodlands. And I can stop and think, what would I compare God to? God, I really love the sunset over the lake, but you are more beautiful than that. And personalize what he's doing there. The sunshine, moonlight, twinkling stars. You might think, what in the world are we singing a hymn about nature for? Well, stop and see what he's doing with those words. He is looking at the most beautiful thing that he can experience in this life, and he says, God, you are better than this. You are more beautiful than this. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing. I don't talk that way. It's poetic. But what is his desire? More than my capacity.
Lord, I wish I had a greater ability to express praise to you. I wish I had a better understanding of who you are so that I could glorify you more clearly. You put it in your own words. You know, get your worship out of the King James. That's not who you are. Make it personal. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim. Okay, I don't have to pray the whole song, but as I read through here, there's a word that stands out that I haven't been thinking about God in this way. God is gracious. Let me stop with that and just think on that. How has God demonstrated graciousness to me? What is an example from Scripture that demonstrates God is gracious? What is graciousness? Let's break that thought, that concept down and pray back to Him the different individual aspects of that, what is graciousness. And you, it's not just gracious there. It's whatever stands out to you as you read through the hymn. And when I do this, I usually read through it twice. The first time, just because it's a hymn I know, I get the tune, and it just kind of sings through it. But the second time, I want to try to set the tune aside and look at the individual words, because sometimes we miss that as we're so familiar with how to sing it. We don't even stop and think about the flowery language and get past the flowery language. But, you know, what is Jesus, the name that charms our fears? You stop and think, what does it mean to charm your fears? Have you gone to your child's bedroom and charmed their fears lately? You got to stop and think about that. Okay, what does he mean by that? But in the thought process opens up our worship. Oh God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. And then he goes and looks at creation, before the hills in order stood, or earth received her frame, from everlasting thou art God, to endless years the same. We can use books, and I put down a number of them that I've been using in the study, preparing for this each week, but also some others, as there are men that are recognized not so much as professionals, but they have a very good grasp of certain topics. And A.W. Tozer is known for his grasp on worship. And so you want to learn about worship, you might go and find something written by Tozer. And the one that I've been using is Whatever Happened to Worship. That is not something he wrote, but somebody compiled some of the thoughts that he had presented. The Knowledge of the Holy, or Gems from Tozer. I like the smaller books, actually. They're concise. They can be kept close by. But that's not to say that larger books don't have their place, but it's very nice to have something very handy, you know, something like these, this size, is easy to stick in your Bible with your other pens and notebooks and things. Murray is known for his work on prayer. And I can't remember, I think it just might be Murray on Prayer. It's a great big thick book that's compiled a lot of his material there. A smaller work, The Ministry of Intercessory Prayer, that would be rather specific. Warren Wiersbe, Real Worship, that has been a really good book. And The Wonderful Names of Jesus. I like these. just to look at the name of Jesus and to just stop and meditate and praise God for what he reveals through that. His name is who he is. It's not a title. It's a description of him, his character, his nature, his work. And so when you see the name and meditate on it, then you are able to formulate a prayer around that aspect of who God is. Dr. David Jeremiah's study on worship was really good. Kevin Bowder has edited a compilation of material from the seminary. He would be in our circles, regular Baptist circles. His book is Heart, Soul, Might, Meditations on Knowing and Loving God. Jerry Bridges on Trusting God. And he takes you through, can God be trusted? Well, yes, because he is these things. And so anything that focuses our attention on who God is. I like Lockyer in his All the Divine Names and Titles, or All of the Promises of the Bible. He has a bunch of these, all this or that of the Bible, but these two in particular for worship. You look at the promises of God, and it gives you fuel for thanksgiving. Right? He has given us precious promises, as Peter tells us. Wonderful names of our wonderful Lord, names of God. Mike Augsburger wrote a Sunday school or a short Bible study on the glory, discovering the awesome God. John MacArthur, The Ultimate Priority. I liked Jim Berg's book on Created for His Glory. And some of that's a little more focused on us and our relationship rather than the specific attributes of God. You want to dig really deep and get into some a little heavier stuff, you can read anything from Spurgeon or Matthew Henry or G. Campbell Morgan or F.B. Meyer. Those are bigger, wordier things. And that's not necessarily bad. Especially, you can take Spurgeon's volume on the Psalms. And you don't have to read the whole thing, but to just read a little bit and how he has meditated on every word through the Psalms. The Treasury of David is a really good volume to have. We can use media, and I don't mean Fox News. Right? But we live in a day and age where we have all kinds of access to resources other than the printed word. We can use recorded music, but I think it's not just for listening to music. If you're going to use it for worship, you need to use it intentionally. Okay? Podcasts, I know there's a number of them out there, but I'm not familiar with all of them. The Thinklings is a good one, and they'll give you some direction on some other ones if you listen to them. SermonAudio.com is a neat resource. You go on there and you can look at books of the Bible or topics. You go to topics, you can look at God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, worship, and you click on there and they'll give you a whole list of sermons you can listen to on that topic. And you got to be careful who you listen to, but they've got some good speakers and people that have passed away that we wouldn't be able to listen to anymore. Finally, creativity. You can sit and meditate and then write. You can write out your prayer. You can write out a poem if you're creative in that way. There's other ways of expressing ourselves, but if we're going to use creativity, we don't want to just be crafting but to use it intentionally in the direction of worship. If you're going to draw a picture or create a something like this to hang on the wall or something, you want to make sure that at the end of the creative process, you actually use it in a direct address to God. One of our friends likes to do woodworking, and he takes different kinds of wood, different colors and different whatever, and he cuts them into little pieces and puts them together to make a picture. And usually he makes a hill with three crosses on it. And there's ways of expressing ourselves, and as we're doing that, to be thinking about God and what he's done for us and so forth. But then we need to take it back to him and speak it to him.